Minnesota basketball fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast. He's Aaron. I'm Chris. And we're here to talk some Timberwolf basketball. And man, what a wave of emotion from the best, as far as meaningful game, it feels like, because everything's meaningful at this point. Probably the best close, like the last couple minutes to a game of Ant's career, all the way down to him hitting the rim, trying to block a shot. But yeah, then you hear, you know, Cat's out for an extended amount of time. It does sound like there is some positivity there as far as not as extended. So there is a silver lining there. But yeah, we're going to get into recapping the 2-2 record, that Cleveland game. That one was so winnable. I really wish we would have won that one. But we're going to talk it through. Obviously, it got real weird, you know, on Sunday night, last night, watching the Lakers game. You're like, who's out? Now, wait a second. Who's in the starting lineup now? What? Where are they? Why aren't they playing? Why isn't Rudy and Slo-Mo out there? So that got pretty funky quick. I did like how they battled, though. And they kind of just, you know, ran out of bodies, ran out of juice. So that's not that big of a deal. Anyway, we will talk about this week, which is a little bit lighter. All these back-to-back freaking games we've had. And we talked about how I think there was 10 of them left after break. So, you know, I think there's only 3 back-to-backs left. This week is only 2 games from Monday to the next time we do our show. They do have a game next Monday, but, of course, we won't preview that because we'll be talking about it the day of. You know, Clippers, then a 3 days off, then Utah. So that is nice. You know, will there be a Marcus Morris sighting and signing? Probably, I'd assume. So, yeah, and then obviously, you know, we always close with the Gophers who had, speaking of a bad week, the Gophers had a bad week. So, yeah, we're gonna talk it all the way through. If this is your first time listening to the Living Loserville podcast, welcome. It streams live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropeadope and download the show directly there if you don't want to. You can find this here, Timberwolves/Gophers podcast, in a variety of ways. Under Ropeadope Radio, it's on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Google Podcasts, Podbay, Podtail. Oh, don't forget to download the podcast app. You can also check it out, the Living in Loserville page on Spreaker. And if you have Spotify, check out the Living in Loserville on Spotify. Real quick, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com and Sports News 24. One more thing, coming from DirecTV Stream. DirecTV Stream was named the best streaming service in 2023 from Rolling Stone. And, of course, they know everything, right? It has a lot to do with music. No, I'm just kidding. Choose the DirecTV Stream package that's right for you. No annual contracts. No hidden fees. You can start with the entertainment package at $79.99 a month. They also have the choice in the ultimate. Either way, enjoy the live TV and streaming apps all in one place. Go to DirecTV Stream. Okay. Gonna go ahead and bring in my co-host Aaron. Man, you know, they wonder why we call it Living in Loserville. They wonder why the Minnesota sports jinx since 91 exists. I'll tell you what, man. Cat, since 2020, Karl Anthony Towns just can't catch a break, whether it's, you know, deaths like to his mom and 6 other relatives through COVID. Last year, he missed 53 games. We get to game 62 or something like that, and then this pops up. Hopefully these other injuries, you know, are just kind of day-to-day game-time decisions. But, yeah, this week was a whirlwind, man, of positivity and, like, what now? What'd you say?
Yeah, I mean, you text me at work. I'm like, I'm at work. What's going on, man? And, you're like, just, you know, check the Google machine and then see what you see. Torn meniscus. Yeah, why can't we have nice things? We can't have nice things, apparently. Game 62, you said. You know, we always thought maybe an injury was imminent, but it's just kind of been the way it's been for the last few seasons. But we thought maybe, just maybe this year would be different. No, I mean, there's 17 games left of the season coming down the stretch here. I'm trying to hang on to top four, at least in the West. And this happens. Apparently something was nagging him and went to get it checked out. And of course it's, you know, it's something that's going to put him out for 4 to 6, 6 to 8. We don't know. I think they said 4 to 6 on a good day. So let's hope for that. But you got to stay in the hunt here. You don't want to end up in the play-in, which could possibly happen. But yeah, it's just one of those things. Minnesota sports, man, it just keeps coming up time and time again.
And that's why I'm so grateful, Aaron, for being alive and well aware of what was going on in 1991 with the Twins. That I got to experience it. That I know what it is like, you know, that just, man, I didn't think of it then, right? Didn't think of it then. Thought maybe the Twins would win another one. Who knows? But we've obviously.
We thought there. Somebody would win something.
Exactly. You know? Somewhere. Especially with the Vikes. I mean, we had a couple of great, you know, quote unquote great teams that could do it. And as we know, it did not happen. You know, Portland. That first game, that was all about Rudy. I mean, this dude, you know, from the field, from the free throw line, he was just freaking dominant in that game. Wasn't necessarily the best game per se, as a whole, you know, because they didn't even have the team that we last played Portland, those back-to-back games before the break. They didn't even have that team, so you know, didn't play great, but yeah, Rudy really did his thing in that game, man. And I can't say enough about, like, if you look at consistency, I think it's fair to say that Rudy's the most consistent player that we have right now, which, you know, if you look at his age and his experience, I guess that would make sense, because it's not like it's Conley where he's 36, so some nights, you know, he's just not going to have it. But Rudy went off. And then, speaking of going off, speaking of going nuts, Ant, like I said, in the fourth quarter, especially the last, like, 2 minutes of the game, you know, he was assertive. He was the whole time decisive. And he hit, like, 3 big buckets down the stretch. All of them a little bit different, a pull-up 3, a fade, a go into the rack. Like, did a whole lot. Now, you know, he did miss that free throw, and he said he was pissed about that, which probably, you know, amped him up even more to go down and chase down block. But that chase down block was just crazy. You know, he said after the game he's never jumped that high. I believe it. Dude hit his head on the rim and then took a spill, luckily not on his shooting wrist, but just in general, he took a spill after that, pops back up. Oh, what it would be to be 22 again, to jump up and be like, we're good, everything's fine. I have a bruise, but we're going to be fine. That was something that was spectacular, obviously. It went viral and all that, but you know, like I said, I think if you look at the last 2 minutes of a game, and let's say a meaningful game, in fourth quarter, I remember the Celtics game, he kind of, earlier this year, he had a rough fourth quarter, just closed, but then went off in overtime. But it was kind of like we stretched the lead enough. We needed, in this game, we needed every single bucket he got. He got 10 points in like 2 minutes, and then the game-saving block, and that is just one of those things that keeps reminding you of the potential of this kid, Aaron.
I agree with you there. I agree with you on the Rudy point, too, about being consistent, but to see Ant take over a game like that, now we sort of had to with Cat out. That was like the first game we figured out Cat was out, and he wanted to say, you know, look, I can carry this team, and did a great job. You know, he missed the free throw, knew he had to do something on the other end, went back and made that block. It's an incredible block. But more importantly was what he did earlier in the fourth to just kind of keep us in the game and to get us out to the lead. It's a pretty incredible performance, so much so that they put him on national TV for the next 3 games. And, you know, I don't want this to be a postmortem for the squad or anything, because I think they got a chance to still do some things. But, man, they were playing so well before Cat went out. And, you know, the Indiana game, they played pretty well. Obviously, Portland wasn't much of a challenge, but they handled that pretty well, too, and just kind of getting defensively in a rhythm, offensively in a rhythm. Everything was working great, and it's like, wow, it's pull Cat out now in the cog, and man, it's a terrible thing, but I think Ant can, through these next stretch of games, has an opportunity to really cement himself here as one of the, you know, top three players in the league, also able to hold and carry this team. If he can do that in Cat's absence, it's quite a test, and it's asking a lot, Chris, and I don't know if it's fair, really. Maybe you can chime in, but you know, there's going to be a point where he's going to have to carry this team. This is a great opportunity, and I'm not saying, please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is your responsibility to carry this team, but it would be nice to see him be able to step up and, you know, fourth quarters, be the guy, make the shots, play the defense, do the things he has to do to win. Part of the maturation process here, it's an opportunity to do so. I'd like to see him do that, but I in no means feel like he has to. But it would be nice to see, and I thought we saw a glimpse of that in the Cleveland game.
Yeah. So Edwards, there's only two players in Wolves history, and I remember this game too against the Suns. Anthony Edwards, 44 points with no turnovers. And the only – it basically tied the 44 points that in 2007 that KG put up against the Suns, most points without a turnover. And I remember that game like it was yesterday. I was at a bar watching it, and like I can't – I think it was KG hit his first 10 shots or something like that. It was just like super efficient. And, it was just – it was really fun to see him do that. And it does remind me of KG when he was young, where these spurts of minutes and games where you're like, oh, my God. So that's what – when he's 25? And honestly, we don't even need to get to 27 and 28 anymore to say someone's in their prime. One, the prime's earlier, and it's longer now. You stay in your – because we do so much stuff off the court. They do so much stuff off the court, and we've learned so much scientifically about your body that these guys are lasting a lot longer. And that's in every sport, shit, even boxing, you know, which is the most brutal sport. Now, as far as like a top three, I think that's pushing it. Like, I know that's, but I don't see him as, I don't see him as a top three player by the end of this year or anything like that. But to your point, though, I think this is, like you said, a moment in his career where he does need to step up. He needs to take it up a notch. And like it's the playoffs, we've seen him 2 years in a row do that. And I think that it maybe this is actually, you know, what he needs, too, in this moment, because – there are still some times where if he's not playing against LeBron or Durant or, you know, there's still some times where he's a little lackadaisical. Just the other night, he lost track of time in the locker room and didn't even make it for the start of the game. Like, what? I'd never heard of that. So it was really like, what do you mean, dude? Like, huh? So, and then, you know, the off-ball defense, the picking up defense transits, just little things that as a young player, you're not always one. There's just the top elite players in the top 10 or whatever are like that when they're young, where you just turned on the whole time. And that consistency, not just consistency as a young player, but just in every night. If he says he wants to be the best player in the league, then he has to be ready to go. He can miss shots. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 100% focus for that full 48. And maybe, just maybe, this can be Like, it would suck if, you know, Cat just wasn't coming back, period, and we know he's out for 6 months, you know, then I'd have a different viewpoint on it. But, yeah, I think there is something that this actually will help him grow. And case in point, you know, he did have, you know, one pretty damn bad game and a pretty mediocre game to follow that up. So that's all about the maturation type thing. So I agree with you. I wouldn't go top three, though. I think that's just not the case. But I do think he can learn from this. This is a big part of his career, no doubt about that.
Well, I think the goal is top three, if not number one, right, for him. That's what he wants to do.
No, but you said by the end of the season.
Sure, but I'm just saying you can go – I want him to close games. That's what the step I want to see him take, like whether with Cat, without Cat. I want him to be the closer. You know, Jordan at the end of the game, and I'm not comparing him to Jordan, just putting an observation about Jordan. You know, he was the guy at the end of the game. He got the ball. He made the plays. It's asking a lot. I know there's one Jordan. Maybe Kobe was close. But I think Ant can get into that sort of mode, even with Cat on the floor, to where he's the guy. You know, you're down, I don't know, 2 minutes left. You're down three. You know, ball goes to Ant. Everybody knows it, and you can't stop it, that type of thing. But we're not there yet. Like you said, it's a maturation thing. He's 23 years old, 24 years old. I'm not sure, but he's very young. He's
22.
22. Well, okay. Well, case in point then.
No, my only disagreement was by the end of this year, he would be in the top three. That's all.
Oh, well, yeah, I agree with you on that. I'm just saying, I think eventually it's a different story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Like I said, I'm on the same page. I just don't think he's going to close like that. But, I, you know, and it goes back to what we talked about, shoot, probably a month ago, Aaron, how I like him taking the last shot. I just don't know what kind of shot that's going to be.
Right.
Or, like you said, ball in the hand doesn't mean shooting, right, all the time. Mm-hmm. It means best shot on your team, too.
Yeah, make a
play. The combination of that, yeah. So that's the next step he has.
And he's so close.
We see it in some games. Right. It's like, ugh. But, yeah, I mean, ever since he had that string of, like, 10 to 15 games where it's like, dude, what are you doing? And then all of a sudden he held back too much for a couple games. And then he's finding that I can drive and dish, you know, don't just sit out on the three-point line, get ready for a shot, like just always be ready to go. And I think you could say that about a lot of people on offense as far as working harder on offense than we do, because we work so hard as a team on defense, sometimes we don't cut, we don't, you know, we don't move. We don't want to stand around and just watch Cat and Ant with the ball.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think he's so close. And if he does cross that bridge to become this kind of player that we're talking about, that is rarefied air in NBA history, guys that can do that. That's maybe two handfuls of guys in the history of the league that could do that role and play that role. Maybe throw another hand in there, maybe 15 guys throughout the history of the league. I wouldn't say any more than that, though, Chris, that have that role and be able to do that. And like I said, he's young. We're watching him grow. The tantalizing thing, like you said, is that there are nights you see it, and then there are nights that you don't. And the consistency there, like you said, is going to be a thing. But consistency overall kind of leads us to the Laker game. It's like, okay, yeah, you don't have the guys you want. There's some guys out. I don't know what the Lakers had out, Chris, but obviously we're out three pretty big cogs. And, you know, I don't think they played terribly well, the Wolves, but and the game was within winning, but a few mistakes and just, you know, Anthony Davis. And it's tough to win without Slo-Mo and Rudy and Cat. It's asking a lot.
Yeah, definitely. That game didn't bug me whatsoever. Actually, a quote from OptiStats, a quote, Anthony Davis, 27 points, 25 boards, is now the second player in the last 40 years to have 25 points, 25 boards, three steals, three blocks, or something like that. The last guy to do that was 1989. I think we've heard of this guy, Hakeem Olajuwon. He had 32, 25, and 30. They're calling him 13 stops, blocks, and steals. So, I didn't mind that at all. I kind of want to go back to that Cleveland. Well, let's just finish the Laker game. I did like how, you know, it was really like, we're going to have to shoot more threes. We're going to have to loosen up the offense. It's going to be a little bit different. We're going to have to do more pick and rolls. It's going to be a little different without Rudy. One thing to have not Cap, but yeah, like you said, no Rudy, no slow-mo. And even Morris, you know, and I thought J-Mac played great, came in, hit 4 of 9 from three. His, you know, we've been talking about his three-point shot. He doesn't shoot it a lot, but it's coming up. And at some point, they're going to have to guard him there. Nas was going off for 21 points the first half, and the Lakers made an adjustment. They put Hashimura on him, who's a long, lanky dude who's got quicker feet. So they basically kind of did what they do to Cat. So they take away, or contain anyway, his drives. And then they had Anthony Davis lurk, and they had Anthony Davis on McDaniels. McDaniels, had a issue there shooting. Him and Ant had 25, but, you know, shot 23 times. McDaniels 5 of 17. Combined from three, though, those two were 2 of 14. So you got to hit the shots to be able to make them worry about you, especially, you know, with the AD. So he can't lurk as much. So that is something that, you know, you can anticipate happening now. Like we said before we hit record, Aaron, that not every team has that exact matchup. And there are some matchups just like Cat where you're like, it's a Cat night. Let's keep doing it. And so it's not like they're just going to be able to find a guy that always takes away Nas's drives, you know. So, but I did want to go back to that Cleveland game, though, because, you know, they didn't have a big either. Of course, we have Cat out, but they didn't have Mobley, and then they didn't have Mitchell. And the amount of dumb fouls. Now, I get the Scott Foster stuff, Scott Foster and company. One thing, Scott Foster's been this way for a long time, right? You know what you're dealing with, okay? Now, one of the other refs is like one of the highest tech refs in the league. So if they, in the playoffs, if they get Scott Foster and then that female ref, that would be a really shitty game because Scott Foster loves to interject himself. I did, but with that said, there was also a lot of dumb fouls on the Timberwolves. It was almost like, hey, Cat's out, so let's get like 5 more fouls to make up for it because we know Cat will foul a lot. So I thought Rudy with the money sign, yeah, that's funny, but not really, dude. Like, I'm not trying to be a party pooper. I think it's funny, but do you really think that's going to help us in the long run in the playoffs? Basically saying that they had a bet on tonight's game. I just don't think it helps. I think it's ridiculous, actually, when the game is still intact to do that. I think that he got, you know, the anger or whatever got a hold of him. Because I remember a couple of months, like a month ago, they actually said it on the Dane Moore show the other day that he's the one that said, you know, we may not get some fouls sometimes. We're going to have to just deal with it. It's like, well, Rudy, listen, look in the mirror, buddy, because if you think that helps them in the playoffs, you're out of your mind to do that. Now, does that not, you know, they busted a guy from the Lakers-Sacramento series in 2002, right? That was gambling on it, you know. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, okay? Don't call me like, oh, you don't believe in. No, it's not that. It's not that. However, if you think that's going to help us, okay? And then also, Ant, he's second in the league now, tied for second in the league with Tex. He has 12 right now. If he gets a 16, he misses a game. Now, you can argue with the rule. I don't like the rule. You shouldn't, you know, there should be Tex are unlimitless or whatever. Fine. That's fine. But the rule is and those go into the playoffs. So you got to find your texts when you need them. And in that Laker game, he tried to dunk on Cat or AD, and he acted like he got just killed. And it's like, dude, was there some contact? Sure, but it was both ways. He put his hand on AD's shoulder to go above him. So, and I know he was yelling, but he wasn't, you know, this is the same thing we used to say to Cat. He doesn't do it as much anymore. Cool. But you can't be a 4-on-5 because you're mad at the ref. So I give him some credit for I think he's handled the refs better of late. I like how he talks to them when there's a dead ball. I think that really shows that Anthony Edwards put his best foot forward, the guy that a lot of people think he is. And I think they're going to respond better than that. So you're still putting your complaint in, but you're not just screaming at the guy and then leaving your teammates shorthanded. So Rudy and Ant wasn't really happy about that. I'll say that, but that was so winnable. Nas was it ruined Nas' best game of his life. 7 of 11 from three. We went 8 of 30 in a team. Ant, I think he missed like 8 in a row or something like that. He was 7 of 27, just didn't have it. But I will say that I was a little bit mad at Rudy. It makes for a funny meme, but I don't know, Aaron. I don't think that actually happens when that guy goes viral. I really don't. Refs are refs. They're going to look at that and be like, okay, you want to fucking play games? Cool.
I think it's a great point. If you do run into Foster and those guys again in the playoffs with this under your hat, and obviously, you know, I thought it was funny. I thought it was off the cuff by Rudy, but
it's hilarious.
I think it was in the wrong, like just not at that point in the game, not. You know, you don't have to do that to him or visible. You can maybe do it to your teammate. There's a bunch of variables there that you could have done it better and got your point across without trying to show up the reps. And every time you do that, that's not going to be great. Either the league, I think, find them and then this. But I am looking forward to the 30 for 30 5 years from now when that game was bet on. You know, it's kind of like the.
Then our teammates would have something to do with that bet because they were following like dumb shit too. You know what I mean?
All right, yeah. 5 years, it'll be, there's a Cleveland game in Minnesota, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, shit, Rudy called it. It seems to always work that way, you know, 5 years later when
well, I'd say
you
probably
can't
be
do
like
anything about it.
Years,
yeah, in the future, nonetheless. yeah, I mean, obviously you don't want that. I think Finch probably blew a gasket at some point about that. It's just like, and Anthony, again, with, you know, look, I'm a little upset about Anthony's whistles, you know, like, some refs will give him whistles. Some refs won't. It seems to be a Timberwolf issue. You know, even though you're making, you know, they say earn your respect. Okay, fine. You know, we're working on that. But at the same time, it's like, all right, well, you know, Cat, we've pretty much just said, okay, he's not going to get calls. Well, I don't know if that's fair, you know, but that's the way it is. You know, I think everybody else pretty much gets the calls that they deserve. I can't really think anybody else. You know, Anthony, it depends on the refs, I think, really, who's going to give him the calls or not. And you think, well, you know, he keeps ascending in the league. He should be getting more calls. And maybe that's something we have to wait for next year or maybe the year after. I don't know. It depends on how his play goes. But, yeah, it's one of those things that keeps recurring. And, again, you know, we always have to preface this by saying we don't blame refs. But at some point, when you're a person and a fan base that tries not to blame refs and they just keep asserting themselves into your life, I guess, into your sports viewing, you have to say, well, maybe there's something going on here. No, I'm not saying conspiracy theory. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying, man, maybe we got some heavy whistled refs or some light whistled refs floating around. But Foster being one of them, he's always going to be a pain in the ass every time you play him. And now, as you pointed out, I think you can probably say he's going to be even bigger pain in the ass next time you see him. Or he'll clean up his act, but, you know, his act's been going on for a long time. You're right. He likes to assert himself. He is what he is. You know that going in. Don't make it worse. And your point's well taken there, and hopefully Rudy gets that point. But, you know, he's been steaming about that, like, since he said, for, like, the last month or so. Maybe not Foster himself, but the officiating themselves. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to have to, as a team, we're going to have to figure out a way to get over that hump of just being able to play through it I know you're probably going to have to score 6, 8, 10 more points a game, but, you know, that's just how it is for now, and you have to deal with it. I'm sure that's what Finch is telling them. They need to listen.
Yeah, and in that game in particular, they could have just knocked down one more shot and won the game. You know what I mean? So we got to, you know, set, like 7 of 11, one guy, and then 8 of 30 overall. And Ant went 7 of 27 and went on like 0 of 10 or something like that. So I'm just saying.
And we,
like,
did leave out, though. Nas went nuts in that Cleveland game.
That's what I just said, yeah. 7 of 11.
Unbelievable.
He had his best game of all time. Yeah. And that's what sucked too for him. It's like, oh, man, you had it.
Yeah, the first half of the Laker game, too, he was just going off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely didn't leave that out. He was the bright spot of that game, man. I mean, he really was. But, yeah, I mean, recently, actually, last week, we talked about how he's Edwards is getting to the line more. So, clearly, they're calling a little more fouls, but it's also about being aggressive. Usually, they do. Unless you, barnstorm offensive fouls, at times Cat can do that. It's being aggressive in the serve the whole time, too.
Yeah, but maybe so, don't. And he's not screaming either. AD when you're the only player left on your team, basically. I mean, come on, dude. I don't want to see Ant get hurt because he's trying to dunk on AD. You know, that dunk was a little surprising to me, or that attempted dunk. And then to ask for a foul after that, because you're right, it's like,
yeah,
you really didn't
put
do
your
much.
Arm on him, yeah, like, yeah. Save the time for a horrible foul. You know, that's all I'm saying. Save it, man, because they're not going to listen to you. And I have heard a lot, or not, you know, he hasn't been screaming as much.
Right, or you come down wrong on that ankle, Chris, and the play-in's out of the question at that point.
That looked like a John Morant type of play, where you're like, all right, dude. Sure, man. I don't like you said. I don't know, man. But either way, I was fine with the Laker game. We missed some shots, but we were shorthanded. We battled our asses off. Even in the third quarter, it looked like they were up by 11 or 12. We came back, made it tight. I didn't have a problem with that game at all. It was really that Cleveland was a sticky point for me. We needed to win that game. That was a clutch game, and we came up short. We came up short, but it is what it is. And hopefully, Rudy and Slo-Mo, if they don't return tomorrow, at least, you know, after 3 days off, both of them should be back in the lineup. Hopefully, Morris can come back as well, who had been playing really well off the bench. And all three of them are game time decisions right now when it's listed. So, and we've been pretty damn healthy. Charlie Walton from Minnesota on Twitter, we've been one of the healthiest teams. Conley played 57 games. Edwards played 59. McDaniels played 52. Towns played 60. Rudy played 60. So we've definitely been lucky there, but this does feel like the 2018 Timberwolves were Jimmy Butler, you know, partially tore his meniscus with like 19 or 20 games left, which lines up basically what, you know, before the last few games. Now, from 3, there was no plan, but from 3 to 8, there was a 2-game separator. So at the end of the season, that's the year where we had to beat Denver to get into the playoffs, and then we played Houston. We're not – as long as, you know, Rudy and, you know, Slo-Mo come back, we're built differently. And Jimmy was our best player, whereas Cat's clearly our second or third. Kind of matters what, you know, you're talking about. Offensively, he's our second. So we are built different. We've played a lot, even last year, a lot of the cores played, actually 2 years ago too. So we played a lot of minutes together. We have depth as long as it's somewhat healthy there. We do have depth. And like I said, especially with Cat going out, I could see Marcus Morris coming in because without Cat, do we have depth? Hell yeah. You know, but if Slo-Mo starts, then who's going to be Slo-Mo off the bench? Or if they tweak it and decided to go Nas at the 4. Okay, then who's Nas Slow-mo ain't Nas. He's slow-mo, you know? So we would need Morris or something like that. You know, that would really help. That would really help. So anything else before we get into these next two games that, man, it's weird to see only two games on the schedule, man.
It is weird to see two games on the schedule. I was like, are you sure? And it's like, oh, Clippers, Jazz. Oh, geez, just Clippers, Jazz. Clipper games, that's going to be interesting, Chris. Now that this new situation is what it is, hopefully Rudy will be there. Hopefully Slow-Mo will be there. But let's say you get Rudy and no Slow-Mo. Okay, fine. I like that. But Slow-Mo and no Rudy, that's a different story altogether, I think. But, you know, the Clippers, they tend to play small, so you could match up with them. I don't know. A tough game now without Cat. I think we've played the Clippers well. Lost to them last time with a full deck, so probably a hurting Cat at that point, you know, due to what was going on with his knee.
Yeah, true.
So maybe that's something there. And then the Jazz, that's, I don't know. I feel like we'll win that one, but, you know, it depends on the lineups that we bring out. I mean, is Rudy and Cat coming back? We've been asking that a little bit, and Rudy's had the nagging things, but nothing that's been extended time. And then Mike, is he going to play, you know, how many minutes? Because his minutes are going to go up, because that's the sad thing. It's like you hope they don't, but you feel like they're probably going to at the wrong time of the season. I mean, maybe he can play big minutes in the beginning, but coming down the end here, you want to keep him fresh. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Morris coming in, that's a thing. I don't like us against the Clippers here. I think we're still feeling ourselves out a little bit with change in the lineup. I think the Clippers are kind of in a run here as long as they stay healthy. Doesn't mean when we see them again, if we do, that, you know, things won't be different. But right now, with the practices and all that stuff, trying to figure out how we're going to play now, which will be interesting to see offensively and defensively. But I guess I think the Clippers, I think we're 1-1. I think we beat the Jazz. I think we lose to the Clippers. I hope we play them tough, and obviously I hope we win. I think it's a winnable game, but chances of you winning I don't think are very good, just due to, like I said, we're trying to get a feel for how we're going to play without Cat. And so you don't want to face the Clippers in that situation, and, you know, that's what's going to happen. So I like 1-1 for the week. And we'll be back Monday to do the other Jazz game, but that'll be, you know, probably while we're doing the show. But nonetheless, you know, two-game week, Chris, a lot of time to get it figured out and maybe try to work with some ways to play. You know, Cat, defensively, I think we can get by without him, but offensively, spacing, spreading the floor, making shots, shooting threes, all that stuff that Cat added, not going to be there and for quite a while. So I think it'll take some getting used to. Nonetheless, I think 1-1 for the week.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, maybe this time tomorrow we find out that, you know, everybody's back or whatever. Maybe even Morris is back, and we could maybe win that game. And like you said, I think you put it really, you know, nicely. That's like, yeah, I think I like that matchup in the playoffs. I think we've proven that we can go head to head with them. Even this last game was right there. So, and we didn't even have our best game. So, yeah, I agree. I think it will be 1-1 because I do anticipate after three games off, you know, all the way to Saturday, I'd assume they're going to be back. And I think we will see more J-Mac just out of it. I think we're going to see more J-Mac even when Morris comes back, because he is playing well and he's got to be, you know, his legs got to be fresh, you know, because he hasn't gotten that much time lately. And then another guy or another, you know, person that could play maybe, especially if, you know, tomorrow night anyway. Dane Moore tweeted today that the Wolves recalled Leonard Miller, who's been tearing up the G League. So between, you know, him and Garza, you know, who knows? Maybe he will. Garza did come in and hit a three and get a bucket and get fouled. And then he got like three fouls too. So he did his Garza thing. So, you know, Garza can go in there and do some stuff on offense, struggle on defense, and then go sit down. And that's okay. It's a couple good minutes. I don't see that as a problem. But I'm right there with you. I think it is going to be 1-1 for the week. And it's just about, you know, when we started this when Cat was out, when we, it was six games between the, you know, us and the fifth. So it's really now survival mode to get home court in the first round, because no matter who the hell we play, a lot of those games are going to be tricky. A lot of those series, I should say, are going to be tricky anyway. So you might as well be at home and get that. So we'll see. Yeah, like you said, 4-6, 6-8 for Cat. It does sound like, you know, we'll know more in about 3.5 weeks or something like that. They're going to reevaluate it. But, you know, it is what it is. It just sucks, man. It really sucks. But, yeah, 1-1 would do the trick on to the Gophers. And they did have, you know, a rough week. They play Thursday in the Big Ten tournament, which happens to be at Target Center. That's where the Big Ten tournament is. This year, I like how they're moving the thing around now, because for so long it was in Chicago, then it was in Indianapolis. I like how they actually – they had the women's Big Ten in Minneapolis. Now they have the men's Big Ten in Minneapolis. So they play at 11 a.m., and if they beat Michigan State, they would play, you guessed it, number one Purdue the following day at 11 a.m. So, but, yeah, rough week. Didn't play up to standard. You know, Carrington, who had been playing good lately, was out, so we did kind of have to play our guards a little bit more. Kind of felt like they just kind of fell apart, and they just, I don't know, dude. I don't know. It was a rough one, dude, to lose both of those games. They just didn't look like they had much energy on last Wednesday against Indiana. That felt like the more winnable game because it was at home. But, yeah, it was a – it was a rough week, to say the least. We haven't had one of those in a while.
Yeah, it was a rough week. And to be honest, I wasn't expecting that, Chris, at all. I thought we kind of hit some sort of stride, you know, coming down the end, the last two games of the season. But, yeah, the energy wasn't really there, like you said. And now you face, you know, Michigan State, I think, is what you face. And then you've got, obviously, you know, in – Minnesota sports fashion, if you manage to win that game, you get to face Purdue, which pretty much ends your season. Now, like you said, at our place, we can think positive. You know, maybe we take the whole tournament, you know, maybe they're just getting rested up to take the whole tournament. Who knows? But as far as the season goes, and let's say they, you know, they beat Michigan State and then lose to Purdue. Not a bad season, right? And then you get the NIT. Hopefully, are you eligible for that? I guess I haven't heard anything, but you would think you would be. You know, there's a chance to do some things in there too. But a far cry from last year, much improvement, and something to look forward to next year. Now, I'm not writing it off because there's still some games to play, but, you know, I don't know if the home floor is really going to be enough to get you to win the Big Ten tournament. But if you can win a couple games, maybe upset Purdue or something who's napping or something like that, that'd be pretty cool. But, yeah, a little disappointed in the Northwestern game, you know, 24-point loss. Like you said, Northwestern's good, but, you know, I don't know if they're that great. And then,
especially the Indiana at home, though, you know. We've been playing so good at home. It's like we put up a stinker.
Yeah, and that's disappointing, to say the least. But, I mean, all you can really do is you look ahead, I guess. I mean, what else?
I just hope we can get in the NIT.
Yeah, you know? And maybe make some noise in there or not. I don't know. It's just, I think overall, though, the season's been a, I won't say success, but an improvement.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I would actually say it's pretty close to a success, just based off only winning two games last year. And I think, what, four the year before or something like that. So I did know Patrick Royce, right? I did see this. I screenshotted it. So, you know, Cam Christie said, you know, I'm not even talking about the NBA draft. Like, I'm focused on the season, you know. And the way it was printed, like the Star Trip Sports Twitter said, you know, freshman of the year candidate, But is he considering the NBA draft, you know? And he didn't come out and just say, yeah, I'm going or something like that. But Royce, right away, enjoy 3 years in the 3 years in the G League, young fella. It's like, dude, why do you got to be such a dick, dude? Like, come on, man. Like, what the hell, dude?
He's old and crusty at this point, man.
Yeah, it's like, dude, seriously? Like, the guy didn't even say it yet. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? But yeah, you're right. He was already like that, but yeah, obviously, you know, when you get older, you're going to be even more like that, right? That makes sense. But I had to say something because it was like, dude, come on, man, dude. Hasn't he said he's going pro yet, dude? Like, just calm the fuck down. Does he have, like, the skill and all that and the length and all, like, does he grade out as a NBA guy that would get drafted? Yes, he does. He surely does, especially in the second half of the season. So, but, you know, it's just – and it is a weak draft. But it's like that's the first place you're going, huh? It's just this Twitter sphere is just – it's really cracking me up. For those who've been there since 2010, these last, like, 3 to 5 years, 5 to 7 years, not even talking about, like, you know, the recent change. I'm just talking about social media in general, not even talking about Elon or nothing like that. But it's just, man, the reporting has just gone to shit, dude. It's all about Twitter now. It's really disheartening. I kind of miss, like, the real trolls, like the funny trolls that everybody could just laugh at, like, dude, that shit's funny no matter what, you know. It's really become politics now and pick a side and, you know, all that stuff. And it's just silly. But, yeah, hopefully they beat Michigan State. You know, they got to do that just to beef up their NIT. But they're not a shoo-in for the NIT this year. So just to have those extra games after extra practices, kind of like we talk about the bowl stuff for college football, it would be nice, man, just to get some more games together, and then we'll see, you know, how many players will come back. You know, we'll see what Dawson Garcia is going to do. But beyond his three-point shooting, he's had a pretty damn good year. So, you know, it's tough to say what actually is going to happen, but there's a core there of veteran players and young players that if we can, you know, get most of them back, we could definitely say this is a year that we've turned around the program. We'll just see where we can take it in the coming years.
I agree with that. And like I said, let's let the catless part of the season unfold. I think that, you know, it's an adjustment period, but I think we'll probably find a happy medium in there somewhere around the next 3 or 4 games. Nonetheless, get this podcast anywhere you see you where you get your podcast. That's anywhere: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Grueling Truth. I don't know if we're still on there anymore, but check them out anyway. And the home base is Rope-A-Dope Radio. Lots of good shows there, including College Ball Show. Let's pray that they get it figured out. I think, you know, Anthony should be able to take over stuff. We'll see how that goes. Nonetheless, we'll cover it next week. Peace.